May the words that I speak be pleasing to the Lord, and may those that are not be hurled into the wilderness and forgotten. Please sit. For me, today's readings from Genesis and from Mark shout relationship. The relationship between God and God's people. They signal the beginning and the final acts of a long journey between God and God's people to create a close and intimate relationship between us. The Old Testament is sometimes described as the story of the love affair between God and his people from creation to incarnation. It's a very turbulent love affair, full of strong characters, an often seemingly uncompromising God, and an intransigent and willful people. In much of Genesis, God's actions resonate with those of the powerful human leader. Someone who leads and rules with severity, seems to be uncompromising, but tempers actions with mercy and grace. In today's story of Noah, there is the essence of a disappointed, angry God. A God who is frustrated, maybe despondent, maybe even perplexed that humans have chosen their will above God's will. Humans who choose to draw trouble, pain, and grief on themselves when they could have peace, mercy, grace, and the comfort of a caring and loving God. The way in which God assesses and grows to understand and love his creation over time is revealed in the early story of the flood. At the beginning, God resolves to do away with creation and start again because humans have moved so far from the original plan. But he can't quite do it. He loves too much. And so Noah and his family and the creatures of creation are saved to start again. The relationship is reset to accommodate humanity. God can't recreate the Garden of Eden. Humans are not the innocent individuals created in Adam and Eve, and the relationship between God and God's people has changed. God recognizes the fragility and vulnerability of humans. He acknowledges their level of need, and he makes an enduring, unconditional commitment to them. In his promise to Noah, God doesn't place any expectations on humans. He takes full responsibility for the relationship. His promise to them is totally one-sided obligation on his part. In the reading, we hear God express sorrow and regret. We hear God's commitment to a world that is far from the perfect creation he'd planned. And we know from the rest of the love story of the Old Testament that God is creating and evolving and growing a relationship that changes through time and experience. God shapes and changes the relationship so that it shifts and grows with his people. God limits himself in how he will deal with the challenges of human behavior. God commits to working within the constraints of the impact of human nature, while not denying that there will be suffering and disaster as a consequence of the limitations he placed on himself. God chooses to endure the suffering of the world while opening his heart to the world and bearing its grief. God will never again withdraw from his people and his creation. God will always be there to offer comfort, hope, security, and trust. Throughout his relationship with humankind, God has temporarily given the Holy Spirit to people to act for him. Prophets, priests, and kings have had it bestowed upon them for a specific purpose. But God retained the enduring power of the Spirit. But at Jesus' baptism, God affirms that Jesus is his chosen one. He calls him son, the most intimate and close relationship that can be understood by humans. And he tells the world that he's given the Holy Spirit to Jesus unconditionally to use in his name. Jesus is not a temporary prophet. He's anointed with the Spirit. He is the one in whom the Spirit will live forever. God has chosen Jesus to speak directly to God's people, to go on creating an intimate, very personal relationship with them, to use the Holy Spirit to save his people, to be the final sacrifice of the old order, so that a new relationship can be forged between God and his people. God is fulfilling his promise to Noah in moving to a new way of being with his people through Jesus. The old rules and expectations have changed, but now that Jesus is now present, a new covenant and a new way relationship is on its way. We are the heirs of that relationship, and we are invited into it. It's one in which we may find the pain, grief, and the struggle of self-knowing and honesty with God hard to bear on occasion. But it will bring great joy, peace, surprise, wisdom, confidence, curiosity, and boundless love. In Being Christian, Rowan William writes of the implications of baptism. He says that we don't go down into the water of the Jordan without stirring up a great deal of mud. Because after baptism, we stand with Jesus in the middle of the heart of God and in the middle of a world full of suffering, sin, and pain. At baptism, God entrusts us with all our faults with the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus stirred up a great deal of mud as he worked to change the relationship between God and God's people, so we may be called to do the same. We may have to go to wilderness places and fight our fears. Jesus certainly faced times in the wilderness of loneliness and testing, times of challenge, torment, and struggle. But the relationship created between him and God through his baptism gave him the confidence, strength, hope, and trust needed for being tested and for journeying to the cross for us. If we take the Lenten journey, we may feel as if we've been sent into a wilderness. As we explore the deeper corners of ourself and face our wild animals, the swirl and sticky cloying drag of mud, the floods of thoughts and emotions, and the hidden corners of our doubts and temptations. But as Rowan Williams says, if we take this step, if we go into these depths, it will be transfiguring, exhilarating, life-giving, and very, very dangerous. Because as Jesus was immersed in the water of the Jordan and arose a changed person, and Noah survived a flood and changed, so will we be. God made Noah an unconditional obligation of love, and he sent Jesus to show us how to live out that love. And we have the opportunity to live it, to own it, and to share it. And I just want to read a poem by Teresa of Avila to close. I think it touches on our human condition and takes us through the transcendence to what we can be if we trust in Jesus and give him our lives. I had a natural passion for fine clothes, excellent food, and lively conversation about all matters that concern the heart still alive, and even a passion about my own looks. Vanities, they do not exist. Have you ever walked across a stream, stepping on rocks so as not to spoil a pair of shoes? All we can touch, swallow, or say aids in our crossing to God and helps unveil the soul. Life smooths us, rounds, perfects, as does the river the stone. And there is no place our beloved is not flowing through the current's force. We may not always like it. Our passions help to lift us. I loved what I could love until I held him. For then all things, every world disappeared. Amen.